It's a thing from the ABC TV series Sea Change. Didn't you love that program, Graham?
I did. I did. Diver Dan, is that the one?
Yep, that's it. It
was Sigrid Thornton. Yep.
Well, we're talking a lot today about Sea Change and moving overseas. And now we're going to talk to Lindsay Sharp. She's one half of an entrepreneurial couple who's had a career change from accounting and marketing to move into the wine industry on the Bellarine Peninsula. She's acquired Eura Park Winery and established the Flying Brick Cider Company and Jack Rabbit Wines, all very successful ventures. And we'll find out about Jack Rabbit's inaugural Winter Harvest Degustation Dinners, celebrating local produce and, of course, great food and wine, including their medal winners at the 18th Annual International Cool Climate Wine Show. She's talking to Graham Camlow.
Lindsay, I think you set out 10 years ago to have a sea change, but is that what's really transpired, or are you busier than ever?
I'm actually a Geelong girl, and David and I moved down. We met in Melbourne and moved down this way for a sea change just 23 years ago. And 10 years ago, we bought Eura Park Estate, which was a little winery here, and did the tree change and started to build that up. And then in 2010, we took on what is now Jackrabbit Vineyard.
Yeah, I've been there. That's fantastic. That goes off like a Chinese New Year down there on a weekend. It's amazing what you've done. Now, that's not all you've done, though, because we've also interviewed the manager of Flying Brick Cider Company. That's another one of your ventures, isn't it?
Yes, 2010 was a big year for us. We decided to start crafting cider. And so, because, for about 6 months of the year, the stainless fermenters were down, empty.
Yeah.
And there was just sort of like an inkling out in the market that, cider was just starting to get a bit sexy. And so, in 2010, Flying Brick Cider Co. was born. And then a few years later, we decided it needed its own home. So we built Flying Brick Cider House in Wellington.
Yeah, that's a fantastic location. And on a weekend, you can hardly move down there. A beautiful spot. Now, but you didn't stop there. Are you a golf fanatic too?
was one out of the box.
You bought Kerr Lewis Golf Club. Or was that sort of a benefactor activity?
No. It's 3 years and one day on last Monday,
right,
when we actually became the custodians of Kerr Lewis by member majority vote. Now, that is an interesting story. We'd always been, Eura Park had always been the wine sponsor of the Kerr Lewis Golf Club, so, as you do. But there was all sorts of rumours going around that, it wasn't travelling well, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been a lot of property development around the Bellarine in the last, 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
And we were both really concerned that if it wasn't going well, a property developer would snap it up and this beautiful golf course and facility would be chopped up into Legoland. So it was weird the way it happened. One Monday morning, I paddled over there and saw the general manager of the time, and I said, "Hey, Steve, how's it going? I keep on hearing these rumours that, you guys aren't travelling so well." And he went, And I said, "Well, I've got nothing to say, but I just wanted to say hello and I don't know." Anyway, from there, the next day, we were sitting in a two-hour meeting with two of the executive committee of the time. And over the next, 6 to 8 months, we went through various negotiations and discussions to basically put together, I don't know whether you'd call it a rescue package or something.
Mm, I think
anyway,
it is, yeah.
It's gone on from there.
And it's a foodie haven now. They play golf there still, but you've turned it into a food destination.
Oh, yeah, it was funny, actually. I don't think – it's funny. David's a keen golfer. I always joke about finding golf boring and irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that within golf clubs, they should be a community hub. They should have good food. They should be places that people who, golfers and non-golfers, want to go and enjoy their downtime and – why should the food be disgusting?
I absolutely agree with you.
They can be.
Mm. And you, what I found interesting is looking on the website, you've got a very distinct statement, and I assume you've convinced the board that why have an exclusive golf club? Why not sort of make it available to people and open it up so that they can come and actually use it? And I absolutely couldn't agree more. But it makes a lot of sense. I mean, have you got too many members down there? You probably don't.
We've actually just... There's now a waiting list for 7-day membership, which is beyond our wildest dreams. It's, you know, when we took over, it was about 200 and something less than we have now, membership. But it's all about making people welcome. And so various aspects, there's still the beautiful continuity and all things that are great about membership, but also people outside from that are welcome to come and play, to come and not feel intimidated, to learn how to play golf, to have fun, to bring their kids there, all those things, which, we're very proud of. It's just such a wonderful, we love it.
I guess in that instance, you're not really a disruptor, you're a builder of a new type of business down there. Now, your background, though, yes, I know you were involved with the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, etc., but...
Do you have done your research?
Oh, I've done a little bit of reading, as one
Sneaky
should, Lindsay.
Sneaky old Graham.
But does that fit you to run two wineries, a cidery and a golf club?
Well, look, David and I work really well together. So, yes, my background's marketing PR and I'm a journo by trade. Mm. So all that, like to me, all that, I'm in charge of all things front of house, basically. So across everywhere, I'm the director of marketing, sales and hospitality.
Right.
And David's background, he's an accountant, but he's a good old Western District boy.
Right.
So from the very start, like our skills really complement each other. So from the start, he could walk in and look at the vineyard basically as a crop.
Yep.
And it's gone on from there. So we do work well together. There's a line in the sand and neither of us cross it.
Well,
and
that's good. Because working with a partner can be a challenge, can't it?
I'm the messy one. We don't share offices, Graham.
Right. Okay. Well, that's probably the secret, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Tell me, have you got any more plans for your vineyards or your cidery? They're all obviously all going well. You've won medals in the International Cool Climate Wine Show for Jack Rabbit.
Yes, that was recent for the Lura Park Shiraz. That was exciting.
Yeah. And we'll get on to why that's important in a minute. But, you know, with all the things you're doing, I mean, have you got enough balls in the air or do you need a few more?
Well, we don't like getting bored.
No.
Well, the next thing, I don't know whether you've seen or heard, the latest thing at Kaluas is we've just opened, or we opened earlier this year in January, the range at Kaluas, which is a big complex. It's an 18 bay indoor-outdoor, literally state-of-the-art auto-tee driving range facility.
Oh, okay.
But that's also got massive hospitality area, access from the Bellarine Rail Trail, and it's also got a very cool. It's making me like golf, Graham. Two-tier mini golf. So again, it's all about, it's a value add for members, but it's also a great place for the community and visitors to come and have fun.
So it's a destination.
It's a destination.
Now tell me, one of the things that spurred me to give you a call was that you've announced your inaugural winter series degustation dinners at Jack Rabbit with your chef and some of your medal winning wines. Tell us a little bit about that exercise.
Jack Rabbit is a culinary destination, and well, it's a whole sensory experience, really. Like people, I love the fact people walk in still, anyone that hasn't been there walks in and goes, oh my God, look at this view. Mm. Oh, my God. So that's the start. Mm. But also...
You better just explain for our listeners. the view is over the Bellarine. Is it towards Geelong?
You can see Melbourne. It's across the bay.
Yep.
Right in front of us, there's lots of mussel farms. We've always got mussels on the menu.
Yep.
We're directly opposite. You can see the Yuyang straight across. If you look left, you can see Geelong. And if you look right, you can see Melbourne. It's right in front of the channel.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable...
So you see boats coming and going and,
gently sloping hill.
Yep.
I guess it's probably ideally positioned for big concerts in summer, is it?
No, it's more intimate than that. We had our first bigger but sort of boutique concert at Lura Park earlier this year, which was John Butler Trio. So that was 3,000 people.
Wow.
And we plan on doing more. But we don't ever want to be, you know, that massive, you know, 20,000 people at a concert. It's more 3,000 to 5,000 people, boutique, sort of as intimate as a big gig can be, if you know what I mean.
No, without... I understand perfectly. Well, in terms of movers and shakers, you guys are certainly shaking it around down there. You must love it.
Love it, love it. Mm. And I haven't, look, I'm sorry, I've deviated. The Degustation series.
When's the next one, maybe?
Well, it's an extension of a concept that we launched last year for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, actually, which was called 10K Gourmet.
Right.
And so it's very much that concept was every single thing people put in their mouth over the degustation dinner, whether it was wine or all food, was either grown or crafted within 10 kilometres of Jackrabbit.
Right.
So that's a huge thing for the Bellarine to be in that position. It shows how much our region's evolved. There's a whole suite of wonderful little artisan producers, you know, the people that just do honey, that just do goat's cheese, that just do special. There's this great new place, little place that started up called Lard Ass Butter, you know, and she, you know, stuff like that is just, it's great to be able to be in a position to showcase it all.
It is a wonderful food trail down there. I've personally been escorted on it, and we did a report for radio about it. So a really, really interesting part of the world, and you're obviously playing a big part in it, Lindsay.
Paddling along. It's great that we can contribute to the sort of burgeoning region as a foodie and wine destination, which it's the response and uptake is tangible now, which is lovely to see, because we're all... You know, they're pretty much all, I think they are all family-run enterprises, and everyone's so proud. There's a lot of collective passion and pride in, you know, what we do down here, so which is nice.
Mm. Well, it's terrific to talk to you. I've had you on my radar for some time, but you've your degustation has caused me to get on the phone and get to chat with you. It's lovely to talk with you. We'll pop the email details for people who are interested in the degustation or the contact details up on our track. And
thank you.
I want to thank you again for your time and really wish you well down there. I have enjoyed some of your produce, so I can say from the heart that it's well worth a visit to Jackrabbit's, where I've been, but I've also tried the Lura Park, and that's pretty good wine. And the cider.
It certainly is.
I haven't been to Kaluas, but maybe one day soon.
Oh, well, let me know and come down, and unless you're a really good golfer...
No, I'm not.
I'll come hit some balls with you.
Maybe on the mini golf.
Yeah, mini golf. We can get a bucket of balls at the range and have a glass of wine at the same time.
Sounds great,
perfect.
Lindsay. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you so much, Graham.
That was Graham Kemelow speaking with Lindsay Sharp, who's making a distinctive impact on the food and wine scene on the Bellarine Peninsula.